Welcome to another inspirational message from Bridge Church Melbourne.
There's a sense of purpose that we're not here just to fill time, but there's a unique design and purpose upon each one of us. And what happens is I live by these few verses. We could get rid of the whole Bible and live by these few verses. Love God with all your heart. Love others as you love yourself. And it's like, oh, that's easy, isn't it? Read that for the rest of your life and just seeking God. But there's this purpose that he wants to bring out. And so I'm excited because I feel like he showed me something. And I pray that I can get the words out, not just me jumping around and going, oh, exciting. Okay. You're all with me? Yeah. Everyone having a good day? Yeah. All got voices? All right, front row house. Let's read Isaiah 30. Here's one I prepared earlier for you. Isaiah 30, 15 to 22. For thus said the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. But you were unwilling and you said, no, we will flee upon horses. Therefore, you shall flee away. And we will ride upon swift steeds. Therefore, your pursuers shall be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one. And at the threat of 5, you shall flee until you are left like flagstaffs on the top of a mountain, like a signal on a hill. Therefore, the Lord waits to be gracious to you. And therefore, he exalts himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. For a people shall dwell in Zion, in Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. As soon as he hears it, he will answer you. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide himself anymore. But your eyes shall see your teacher, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. Then you will defile your carved idols, overlaid with silver and gold-plated metal images. You will scatter them as unclean things. You will say to them, be gone. Lord, I pray, help today with this message in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Well, this story basically came from last Sunday morning. Getting up early, coming to Bridge Church to help with the setup team. It's an amazing time of the morning, 6 a.m. It is open to everyone. I'll be here next week, male or female, boy or girl, young or old. But it was amazing that so I was driving down Doncaster Road as we're coming into Westfield. I caught the first light, the dawning light on skyscrapers. And as it hits the skyscraper, it reflects. It reflected, and all of a sudden it started a volley of thoughts going off in my head. Wow. The positioning of a skyscraper in anticipation of waiting for the morning sun, not dissimilar to us to be like in a position where we wait for our sun to come and reveal more about our Father's loving nature. And so you can even see, I tried to get a photo of what this was something like. But today's title is Reflected Light. Reflected Light. And it's really come with the thought that we are not here to produce light. We are here to reflect light. We are not here to produce our own walking Christ, but we are here to receive his love and outwork it through our lives. There's meant to be an ease and a satisfaction through a reflected light. You know, I was just thinking as I saw that light going on this skyscraper, how much of a blessing it was to others as it reflected. But yet, in that transparency of a window, how much it would have been so good personally to be in that warmth as it starts to dawn for the first time in the morning. Reflected light, receiving and saying, Lord, we want to see you afresh. And so I'm linking it today with this verse from Isaiah 30. And it says, I want to give you a bit of historical context to this verse. See, in this time, it's King Hezekiah. He's come into power. His father was an evil king, and King Hezekiah followed the ways of God. And so he comes into power under the threat, under the rule of an Assyrian empire. So you've got to understand that Israel, Judah, King Hezekiah was the king of, there's an understanding that they are a called people, a chosen people, that God has sent them into the promised land, has delivered them into the promised land. But yet their circumstances say they're actually a conquered nation. They're under the oppression of the Assyrians. And so they wrestle with the fact that, God, if you're for us, who can be against us? There's this natural tendency of, we've been set apart, we follow God. See, the Assyrians were not interested in, like Pastor Luke said today, encouraging people in their uniqueness. They are about assimilation. You're a conquered nation, now you do this. You don't have the rights to worship God anymore. You don't have the rights. You are a conquered nation. And so you can see how that would tear. You know, imagine tomorrow, go, all right, we are invaded by penguins from Antarctica. I've seen it on Batman, that these penguins that can actually rise up. It's happened. We're the closest to Antarctica, guys. This is a prayer thing. And then the penguin rises up and all of a sudden rules Melbourne. They come out of the aquarium in Melbourne. It's already happening. And they oppress us and say, no longer can you meet here in Doncaster. You're now under the oppression of penguins. Go and fish and feed us. It's like Jesus, go and fish. Nah. But in you is like, oh, we could take these penguins on. All right, what's an enemy of penguins? Sharks. Let's go and get the sharks to help us. But maybe this is a little bit out there. Maybe it's not going to happen. It's not prophetic. Anyway. And my wife's laughing. Thanks, God. I feel so encouraged when my wife's laughing. It's like I'm just here to entertain her. Is that right? You can see this oppression. So in the north is Assyria coming to oppose them. And what Hezekiah naturally did is understanding, okay, no, this is not right. We need to worship our God. What he actually did was look to get his strength, look to get his salvation and safeness from Israel, from Egypt, not God. See, what you got to understand is Egypt was actually their bordering neighbor. Egypt was strong. Egypt was powerful. And so what Hezekiah did was actually not turn to God first, but go, I can get my strength from there. I can get my salvation from there. And so this whole verse from Isaiah is coming to Hezekiah and saying, no, get your strength from God first. Seek him first. Ask him first. Wait upon him first. I'm not saying, see, in our hearts, sometimes the natural conclusion is, I'm sick, let's go to the doctor. Or I haven't got money, I need to get a loan. Or I said in the first service, I'm really desperate, I'm going to put my trust in Powerball. We don't actually endorse that. Unless you win and then you give 90%. You keep 10, that's the deal. But sometimes we joke and go, oh, imagine if we win Powerball, that would solve all our problems. No, God solves all our problems. God is with us. God is for us. And so what we're wanting to do is actually learn to posture ourselves to actually wait upon God first and receive his word, and then we can go out from there. What they're coming in alliance with Egypt, that's not necessarily bad. It was the fact that they put all their trust in hope in Egypt to help them and save them from their place instead of going to God. And so Egypt, he thought Egypt was their strength. Egypt was going to save them. But with the word that Isaiah came up with was to be a reflection of God's heart. See, it's not a, he wasn't here to declare and fulfill a prophecy and say, this is, you're going to be free. He wanted to come in a time and a moment that actually showed him that God loves him, God cares for him, he's with you, and he was going to be with him in the situation. So in all of that, this is the context of what this message is all about. Is about a king who's seeking strength from Egypt, where he should have gone to God and say, I wait upon you, give me the answer and go forward. And so just a few thoughts as I talk about this reflected light, about this skyscraper, is about how we receive God and then project it out. And so the couple of thoughts I wanted to give you today was our position. See, in verse 15 onwards, it says, for thus said the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. But it says, but you are unwilling. There's a way God wants us to connect with him. And it's not actually striving. It's not actually going, I'm going to make this happen. But it's actually in returning and rest. Returning can be actually replaced with the word repenting, or repentance and rest. And repentance is actually taking a look at yourself and reviewing and putting in light of God and going, actually, God, I don't want to do it that way. I want to readjust and do it in your way. In returning into the ways of God. And he's not saying, do it like this. He's just saying, wait, wait. It's like that skyscraper in the morning with anticipation of the morning sun coming upon it to hit it. And it's such a magnificent view, 6 a.m. Sunday. free coffee afterwards. It sits there and waits for the sun to come upon it. And what Isaiah is saying to Hezekiah, wait, return to God, wait for him to come. He will save you. He's the one who will save you. Egypt's not going to save you. He's the one that's going to save you. Because in quietness and in trust shall be your strength. He's not saying go and talk to everyone and get advice or how do I work this out. He's saying sometimes just sit back and go, God, I'll wait for you to speak to it. And what he's saying is that's going to be your strength, because all of a sudden this burden that you might have or this situation you have, you're actually saying, no, I give it to God. I actually release God to be my strength in this situation. I don't look to a bank. I don't look to a doctor. I don't look to family. I don't look to friends. I actually look to God for strength and then for him to outwork what he wants to do. All of those things I'm saying aren't bad, but I'm saying we've got to learn to place God as the center, the first thought of how do you help me through this. So our position, we've got to learn to be like that skyscraper, not moving around, but almost standing in full height in anticipation for God to come and speak to us. Like it's almost like there's an excitement knowing that the sun's coming up. There's a sense of if at dawn, there's a light that comes. But as the moment comes where the sun comes up, it hits the skyscraper and reflects light. That's what our life is meant to be, this anticipation of God coming to speak, to give us direction, to give us strength. He's going to save us. It's our position. We do that through our study of the word. We do that through coming into worship and just lifting our hands and saying, God, come, meet with me today. Meet with me today. It's very exciting. Still with me? I love, I said it, his ways are not our ways. And in 2 Peter 3, 8, verse 9, it says, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. You ever thought about dog years? Day is like a thousand, one day is like a thousand years. A thousand years is like a day. You know, that actually doesn't work too bad if that was referring to dog years, because like 1 year is like 7 years. You don't go there with that kind of thoughts when you read the Bible. Nah, Mars is like double. Nah, all right, great. The thought of time is, we think, is 1 year. But if you were actually on Pluto and we said 1 year is an orbit around the sun, that is 249 Earth years. I said to the first service, have you ever asked God where he actually is when he's talking to you? Okay, in next year, this will happen. What if he's on Pluto when he said that to you? Or even better, it's like next year you'll find your significant other. If it's like that and he's at the kennel, that's going to be like months away. Because 1 year is like 15 years for a dog. Perspective with time. But it's just, I say this because there was a thought I had that so often we are striving to have long life, whereas God's called us to have life more abundant. He's sometimes, with the striving and the things that we are proceeding is for a long life, it's like, what for? Whereas we're here to make a difference. We're here to have abundant life in Jesus. And what that looked like is short, long, we're not sure, but there's a sense of purpose being released, that you're unique. And just, this thing. Joe, yeah. And sorry, your husband's name? Danny. You're purposed. You're unique. What you got to understand is God has actually put seeds in you from birth. So he's not adding to it. What he is actually bringing them out and growing them out. And so there should be an excitement in the sense is that you haven't got a path to follow, you've got a path to form. You've actually got a way to forge. And don't get me wrong, it doesn't mean you don't listen to anyone, but there's this uniqueness in you that God's wanting to start to show you and start to bring it out in you, that you're unique. You're not just a carbon copy, pulled out the thing, but there is actually something in you that he's just going to start to show you. And it's not going to necessarily be like that. He unfolds it and shows you. And I felt to encourage you that you've got a specific, unique plan that no one else can do and no one else is destined to do, but it's already in you and it's just going to start to like grow up like grass, and it's going to be an amazing journey to have. So I wanted to encourage you with that. And so uniqueness and purpose. Sorry, I lost my thought. I just wanted to say getting in our position, getting like waiting upon God, like a skyscraper, waiting to hear from God, not striving. Our whole thing is not to produce light, it's to reflect light. Our whole thing is not to say, all right, I'm going to do this so we can have a good life. Our life comes through Jesus, connecting us back with the Father. So we've got to look at our position. What is our position? We look to God to save us. We look to God to give us strength. This is what I love next is we don't just focus on our position. We look at his position as well. Verse 16, it says, therefore the Lord waits. He waits. He doesn't wait and say, about time you came here. Put your hand out, let me smack you. All right, do this and come back and tell me how it's done. Therefore, Lord waits. So he waits, okay. So you got to understand, he's waiting for our hearts to come again to him. Therefore, he waits. And what we need to see is the nature of God towards us. The nature of God is not with a rule to say, about time. Therefore, he waits to be gracious to you. Oh. He doesn't wait to tell you all the things that are wrong. He waits to say, no, I want to be gracious to you. I want to be so much part of your life. I want to help. I want to tell you, put the nets on the other side. I want to tell you that you've got purpose. I want to actually help you in what you're meant to do. Therefore, he waits to be gracious to you. And therefore, he exalts himself, not to lord it over you, to show mercy to you. It's just amazing as his position, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. Blessed are all those who wait for him. See, if we just focus on our position and our goodness and what we do right, that's only one part of it. It's more about a heart saying, God, we want you. And then all of a sudden he reciprocates and says, look, I'm waiting to be gracious. He's waiting to speak into our lives. The last thing he said is, the last thing I want to bring up is from verse 19 onward, and I invite the band to come as well. Go with confidence. It says from verse 19, we've positioned ourselves like a skyscraper to receive God's light. We reflect on his nature and his graciousness. And so all of a sudden we're standing there waiting for him. As he's come, he's shown us his nature. But this is what I love. See, the word Isaiah brought wasn't to bring a fulfillment of actually taking him out of captivity. It was to give him a word of God to say, I'm with you, I'm for you. In any circumstances, I'm going to look after you. And so it says here, for the people shall dwell in Zion in Jerusalem, you shall weep no more. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cries. As soon as he hears it, he answers you. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide himself anymore. But your eyes shall see the teacher. And you and your ears shall hear a word from behind you. This is the way, walk in it. As we position ourselves, not striving to produce light, not saying, God, we're called, this is not meant to happen, but coming to him afresh and saying, God, I position myself. I know you're gracious. As we listen and hear what he says, I'm gracious, I'm merciful, I'm all powerful. You get your strength from me. You get saved this situation through me. All of a sudden, there's a sense of confidence that comes. Go in confidence knowing that he says, this is the way, walk in it. Even though they're still in adversity, even though they're still in adversity, he says, I will hear your cry and answer it.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. It is an incredible privilege to share with you the Word of God, and we trust that you've been blessed by listening. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today we want to extend an invitation to you to begin the faith journey of following Jesus. The Bible teaches us every one of us have been created for relationship with God. Sin has separated every one of us from that relationship, but God has provided a solution in giving us his Son, Jesus Christ. John 3:16 tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. You have an opportunity today to respond with a confession of faith and a decision to believe in Jesus. Today we invite you to make a deliberate decision to invite Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior. Romans 10:10 says that with our hearts we believe and are justified, and with our mouths we confess and we are saved. So right now, if you have faith in your heart and you're ready to make that decision, you can simply pray this prayer with me. Dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for me. Thank you that through his death and resurrection, I am forgiven of my sin to start a brand new life. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me, cleanse me, and to fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit. Today, I choose you as my Lord and Savior, and I thank you that I am now born again as a child of God. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today, we would love to know and we would love to help you in any way that we can. You can contact us on our Bridge Church website, bridgechurch.com, and we'd love to hear from you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope you have been challenged and encouraged.